Local news, culture, and NPR.
For Radio Catskill, this is Rosie Starr. Welcome to Farm and Country, locally produced radio about rural life in the Catskills and the Delaware River Valley. On today's show, community organizer Richard Lowe shares his enthusiasm for this season's farmers and vendors markets in Hancock, New York. Stephanie Phillips continues her conversation with Iris Van Gillingham from Gale Community Farm in Livingston Manor. In today's segment, Now You Know, we'll learn about their education principles and concepts. All of that and Keith Hubbard's Star Talk report coming up on today's Farm and Country. But first, news headlines from NPR.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky says Russia must be held to account for its invasion of his country.
Ukraine never wanted this war. It's a criminal and absolutely unprovoked aggression of Russia. And the only one who wanted it was Putin. But in any case, the world is stronger. That is why the peace formula was born. The formula of unity of the world majority for the sake of peace.
Zelensky speaking in Switzerland today. More than 100 world leaders are meeting there at a summit aimed at developing a plan for peace in Ukraine. Philip Marks reports it began a day after Russian President Vladimir Putin issued his own new conditions for the end of the conflict.
Vice President Kamala Harris, top European leaders and heads of government from South America, Asia and the Middle East are meeting in the Swiss city of Lucerne to focus on Ukraine's 10-point plan to end hostilities as well as humanitarian assistance and food security. Kyiv, meantime, rejected Russian President Vladimir Putin's own ceasefire plan, demanding Ukraine further withdraw its troops and drop its NATO membership bid.
Vice President Harris arrived in Switzerland today announcing $1.5 billion in more U.S. assistance for Ukraine. The money is meant to repair Ukraine's energy infrastructure and to help refugees. President Biden is in Los Angeles. He flew there from the Group of Seven summit in Italy. He's to appear at a campaign fundraiser this evening alongside former President Barack Obama and headlined by George Clooney and Julia Roberts. Former President Trump will be campaigning in Detroit today. President Biden calling on Congress to reinstate the ban on bump stocks, devices that allow semi-automatic rifles to fire rounds at fully automatic speeds. The Supreme Court struck down the Trump-era ban yesterday, as NPR's Nina Totenberg reports.
President Trump ordered the ATF to issue a regulation banning bump stocks after a single gunman at a Las Vegas concert used multiple guns modified with bump stocks to kill 60 people and injure 400. All in the space of 11 minutes. The subsequent ATF regulation banned the sale of bump stocks on grounds that they convert legal semi-automatic weapons into illegal machine guns. But the Supreme Court's conservative supermajority said that the ATF had exceeded its authority and that only Congress could enact such a ban. Carrie Kiefler and her baby survived the Las Vegas shooting.
People are finding it hard to have safe spaces anymore, from their homes to their churches to their schools to their workplaces. We need to know that our government is fighting to get that back for us.
Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.
Police in Auburn, Maine say there is no longer a threat to the public after reports of an armed person in the area where there were a series of explosions and a house fire early today. The department had warned residents to shelter in place. This is NPR.
Support comes from Damascus Citizens for Sustainability, fighting for clean air, land, and water since 2008, both locally and beyond. Information online at their Main Street storefront in Narrowsburg or their office in the Narrowsburg Union. DamascusCitizens.org.
Welcome back to Farm and Country. I'm your host, Rosie Starr. Coming up on today's show, community organizer Richard Lowe shares his enthusiasm for this season's farmers and vendors markets in Hancock, New York. Stephanie Phillips continues her conversation with Iris Van Gillingham from Gale Community Farm in Livingston Manor. In today's segment, Now You Know, we'll learn about their education principles and concepts. But first, here is Keith Hubbard with this week's Star Talk report. Thank you for joining us on Radio Catskill for this week's locally produced Farm and Country.
Country. I'm Keith Hubbard, and this is Star Talk. Thursday will be the summer solstice, the day when the sun reaches its most northern point for the year. Even though the summer solstice actually refers to the moment when the sun reaches its peak in the sky for the year, we refer to the day in which this occurs as the summer solstice. Derived from two Latin words, sol, meaning sun, and sistere, meaning to stand still, the term solstice describes what the sun appears to do. If one were to observe the maximum height of the sun each day during the weeks leading up to the summer solstice, one would notice that the sun climbs higher and higher in the sky until it comes to a stop on the summer solstice. The summer solstice is the longest day of the year, and on Thursday, we will see 15 hours and 14 minutes of sunlight. Those living north of the Arctic Circle will see 24 hours of sunlight today, and anyone south of the Antarctic Circle will not see the sun at all. For those living on the Tropic of Cancer, 23.5 degrees north of the equator, the sun will be directly overhead at noon. Cultures from around the world have celebrated the solstice for millennia. The solstice marked the start of the new year in the ancient Egyptian calendar. It was a time of social equality in ancient Greece, and the Sioux tribe held rituals honoring the sun on the solstice. Head out on Thursday and enjoy the longest day of the year. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas for future Star Talk segments, my email address is startalk@farmandcountry.org. For Farm and Country and Star Talk, this has been Keith Hubbard, reminding you to keep looking up.
Hi, for Radio Catskill and Farm and Country, it's Rosie Starr. I'm in Hancock in the town square. I'm at the Blues and Brews Festival Music. And I think the farmer's market takes place in this very spot over here. And in front of me, I believe he's the market manager, but I'll let him introduce himself and tell us about it.
Thank you. I'm Richard Lowe. I'm the Economic Development Director for the Hancock Partners, and we love setting up these incredible summer events, including our farmers markets and our Summer Nights Live music concert series that also have their own marketplaces, to be able to bring the public together. We always want our community to feel special and to get our vendors and shops and all the local support that they need to keep their businesses thriving. And each weekend on Saturdays from 10 to 2, we have our farmers markets here in the Hancock Town Square, 20 East Main Street. And then in the evenings, on those Saturday evenings from 4 to 8, we have an evening market and live music with bands that we bring in from all over the region and the state to be able to bring our crowds together. We entertain about 15,000 people a season here in the town square.
Well, this is interesting. An evening market. Is it the same market that takes place in the daytime as in the evening, or is it different vendors?
Different vendors. And so our farmers market is a lot of produce and home good items. And then for the evening markets, we're going to have more food vendors, more alcohol vendors, more opportunities to be able to bring in unique commodities from other counties like Sullivan County. And they are exchanging some of our vendors with each other. I sit on the Sullivan Visitors Association as well. So we're always looking at new ways to partner together to be able to share resources and vendors to be able to try new things in each of our sister counties that are on the border.
Okay, let's go back to the daytime farmers markets. Tell us the time of day, the date, and the hours, and where exactly where we are.
Right. So right now we're in the Hancock Town Square at 20 East Main Street, which is located in the heart of our historic village. And every Saturday from Memorial Day weekend to Labor Day, we will have our farmers markets from 10 to 2. And then we run events in the evenings from Memorial Day weekend all the way through Columbus Day weekend, which ends in culmination with our Harvest Festival, where we have a two-day event and a tractor parade. And that's in October.
Do you find that the products that are here food-wise and farm-wise are locally produced?
Yes. So we hand-select our vendors to make sure that everything that is in our farmers market is locally produced. And when we bring in food vendors like Health on Wheels Food Truck, the whole idea is to be able to show a more holistic way for our community to be able to eat and have food prepared for them. Our barbecue vendor that's here today has been slow cooking his locally sourced meat for the last 2 days for the barbecue pulled pork. And we have a number of local food vendors that source all of their ingredients and components from within the farmers market to prepare them for these events.
Well, that's very kind of you and open-minded to offer vegan offerings.
Exactly.
For folks that may not have meat in their diet, but I'll tell you, the pulled pork does smell good.
Yes, it does.
Well, it's really a lovely day. People are milling around here. It's so casual and relaxed and very inclusive, this atmosphere.
Yes, we're trying to make the community more open and vibrant. We've added new tents in the middle of the open park to be able to provide coverage for our music guests to be able to sit and enjoy the shows and without being under the heat. We have new pagoda umbrellas and new picnic tables that have all gone around the square and new play equipment for the children. We put out toys every weekend for them. And in many cases, we let them take them home with them because we want the children to walk away with a fun experience and to want to come back each weekend.
I know all of this takes a lot of volunteer work, and I have a feeling that you are a good part of that community spirit. So I recognize what you do for this effort, but there are other volunteers. This is a community event.
It really is. So we have our Chamber of Commerce that gets involved, our Hancock Rotary Club, which is instrumental in almost all of our activities throughout the community. We also have our volunteer fire department that comes out to prepare the food with us. So it really does take an entire community to make these possible. That probably takes about 30 to 40 of us across 6 different agencies to make this happen every year. And it wouldn't be possible without all of them working in conjunction with each other. And many of us recognize the hard work that we each have to do within our own silos, and to be able to get them all working together for the first time in a number of years and being able to show what it can be to be a community is really working for us here in Hancock. And as we were just named the best small town in the USA by Time Out magazine, I think it's starting to show that we care about each other and we're working together.
That's a very impressive award that you were receiving. For folks that would like more information, do you have a web page that you can share?
We sure do. So if they go to hancockny.org, that's the town website. And once they're there, all of the events are posted all the way to the end of the year. And at the bottom of the page, they can download our new Hancock app. And the app automatically gives them access to everything we do all year. And they can hit with one button all the events and download them into their phone for the whole season. And we send a text message or an alert, if you will, through the app to let people know when things are happening. And that way they can come out. We have about 2,000 people that have already downloaded it, and we only have 4,000 people in the town, so it's working. And whenever we do Girl Scout cookies and amazing fundraisers, people show up and turn out because they know that it's going on.
Well, you're using technology for a good cause. Very progressive of you. Anything else you'd like to share?
Just come and visit us and be part of our community. We love welcoming new friends and neighbors and new tourists alike. We want everyone here to have a pleasant experience, and we hope you'll bring your children to play in the new play equipment.
Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me and for all that you do. Thank you.
Anytime. We thank you.
Good morning. This is Stephanie Phillips with Now You Know for Farm and Country. I'm going to be talking with the founder of Gale Roots Community Farm, Iris Fenn Gillingham, who with support from Catskill Mountain Keeper runs the farm as an educational organization. Iris was born and raised right next door to this land. Iris, tell us about that.
I get a lot of training from local farmers, specifically from my parents, of course, because Gale Roots Community Farm is partially made possible because of Wild Roots Farm. Being able to start a farm and borrow my dad's tractor when I need to, or having the support and really the knowledge base, the understanding of people who have been growing vegetables and raising animals for 30-something years, and then even before them, the skills and the understanding of how to work with the land, how to work with animals, is super, super important. I've, over the course of my life, absorbed a lot from them. And I also have to say, all of the local farmers that I grew up around have taught me so much. It doesn't matter what it is, but there's just so many things that I learn just from my local community, from the people that I see at the grocery store who are telling me like what time of year they tend to plant something, what their grandfather did with his apple trees, or what varieties, or everything that I am doing and learning today, most of it comes back to people in my community who are in agriculture, who are teaching me, or who have taught me different things throughout my life. Sometimes it's things that my grandmother did that we still do, and sometimes it's like just another person that I've known my entire life. So I haven't done any formal agricultural farming training, but I have grown up within this really large orbit of farmers and just mountain folk who know about the land. Most people that I learn from, they have a very strong understanding of food and land and where things come from, and it might be really simple pieces of advice, but I try to collect it and I try to listen to my elders and the 92-year-old guys that I run into. I hear what they have to say because I think that listening to people who have a lot of experience in this area is a huge part of what we're missing in today's day and age. That's partially why I feel like this farm is important, because those intergenerational relationships are vital for creating healthier ecosystems and a stronger food system in our local community.
So it's kind of an informal learning and teaching process.
Yeah.
Who does the actual hard work of farming up here?
Well, that's a funny question, because in this area, I feel like everyone chips in a little bit here and there, especially on family farms. So I'm the only person who is farming, working full-time on Gale Roots Community Farm. But in the summers, we have a farm crew. We have interns. This summer, we'll have about 5 folks here with me. And then I get a lot of support from neighbors, friends, my parents. We always have people around that we're working with, but in majority, it's I'm doing a lot of the work with my family and friends.
Yeah, you can't really do farming with people just chipping in. You really have to dig in and work hard.
Yeah, and I think one of the things about agriculture is that it is really a community or family endeavor. It's really important to have multiple people. There's just certain things you can't do on your own. There's also something really, really amazing that I love about the physical farm work. Getting their hands in the soil, learning about how to work physically hard. On the farm, if it's raining, that doesn't stop us from having to do certain chores or tasks. I think it teaches you a certain amount of resilience working on a farm. And it definitely teaches you a certain amount of figuring out things as you go. I was raised by a family that didn't go out and buy something new when something broke. My parents would figure out a way to use other pieces of equipment to throw together an ad hoc version of the thing that they needed to use to plow the field or to fix the fence. My hay feeders right now are made out of old bed frames, but it's like the perfect size between the slats because sheep can stick their nose in and get the hay. And so we make a lot of things ourselves.
When you have people up here, are they staying in cabins? And who does the cooking for them?
When we have interns or folks visiting the farm, food is a huge part of it, and we do a lot of cooking together. A lot of the food we grow on the farm, we take right out of the garden, and then we process it and we make meals with it. So everything we eat is very seasonal. When our interns first arrive, we might be eating wild greens and stuff from the land here, and then in a couple weeks, we'll be getting our first heads of lettuce and lots of garden stuff. And then over time, it just continues and everything we eat moves with the seasons. So it's a really amazing experience for folks who come here because so much of it is seasonal. We have little cabins, off-grid cabins in the woods at Wild Roots Farm, which is walking distance from here, that our farm interns live in. And then we also will have guests like the fiber artists and some folks who work here as well live with me at Gale Roots Community Farmhouse. And we have an outdoor wood fire bake oven at Wild Roots Farm that we'll use sometimes as well. So between the two farms, because they're in such close proximity, we do a lot of collaborating around food. Gale Roots Community Farm, the food that we can make here is just amazing because there's so much abundance that we're starting to create, especially this time of year. There's so much wild food. It's really fun to already be getting to harvest stuff right from the land here.
Iris, can you tell us something about the farm-to-school program that you're involved in?
A couple years ago, I started helping out with some of the Livingston Manor Summer School and doing stuff in their little garden. And that's part of how Gale Roots came about, was because we need a place for local young people to connect to their food and the land. Now, what's really amazing is we get to have the kids on the farm every week of summer school. So last summer, we had 85 kids on the farm each week with the teachers. They were learning about ecology, learning about the landscape, spending time with the animals, so actually like getting to have hands-on experiences with the sheep and then make felt balls with the wool and exploring the blueberry bushes and seeing what was growing. They helped us harvest milky oats and they helped dig up potatoes and look at the little baby potatoes. And then even just letting the kids be on the farm and outside for the afternoon exploring and using their senses. And so that's a big piece of why this farm exists, and what we want to do with this farm is really foster hands-on learning. Our idea is that through our farm-to-school efforts with the kids, and then eventually once we're growing food for the school as well, we'll be creating this opportunity for young people in this community to have a relationship with where their food comes from, to at least have an awareness. They may never go into agriculture and they may never have an interest in it, but they have at least had some hands-on experiences and found that they learned something, whether it's to be able to get their hands dirty or even just to identify plants, because, you know, we're teaching them about the trees in the forest or the plants that are right in their backyard are still valuable things to know. We have found that the kids absorbed it so well. Like they first start out at the beginning of the program and they're like, I don't like vegetables, I don't like dirt. And by the end, they're like, we don't want to leave. Yeah. We want to stay with the sheep. They're really excited about it here. That's been one of the biggest and exciting things for me, is seeing and interacting with the students and the teachers, who have been amazing, because then they'll also take things that we talk about on the farm and apply it to the science classes or to the activities that they're doing with kids in the classroom. So it's going both ways. It's like bringing stuff from the farm into the classroom, and then the kids are bringing their energy and excitement out into the farm. Yeah, that's been one of the biggest joys of starting Gale Roots Community Farm. One of the reasons that I feel like working with Livingston Manor school kids is so important right now is because we're seeing a lot of gentrification in Livingston Manor, where a lot of things have changed in the last couple of years, and the cost of living and the affordable housing, and a lot has shifted, basically. But one thing that has become very apparent is that food insecurity is a really big issue within our community. And that kids going to Livingston Manor School, those meals are sometimes their dependable meals for the day or for the week. And to me, it's really important that kids who are dealing with food insecurity or navigating a changing town with a lot of gentrification get to have a strong understanding and opportunities to learn more about food and develop a relationship with food coming from this land around here. Because even though we are an agricultural community, buying from the farmers market can be really expensive. And there are certain programs, but, you know, every family has different needs and different abilities to do farm and farmers market purchases. And so we are seeing that the food pantries in town are constantly giving away tons of food. We're seeing this need for an emphasis on connection to food and food insecurity, and a lot of families falling through the cracks in our food system. And so Livingston Manor, even though it's a very small town, there's a striking pull for me of like just looking at the contrast of Manor from the outside looks like it's flourishing. We have beautiful new stores and a lot of great new community members and a lot going on, but the kids and some of the local families are struggling. And how can we change that? And one of the ways, of course, is working with food pantries and creating more job opportunities and making sure there's affordable housing and all these different things. But one way that I feel like I can contribute is helping to get kids in our community on the land and then eventually helping to support them to have healthy food while they're in school.
So now you know that it's really possible to live off the land. I think you'd better spell Gale Roots for people who want to go looking for you.
So Gale Roots is spelled G-A-E-L space R-O-O-T-S. And if they're wanting to find us online, they can go www.GaleRootsFarm.org. GaleRootsFarm.org.
The expert for today has been Iris Fenn Gillingham, manager of Gale Roots Community Farm in Livingston Manor. If you'd like to suggest a local expert for me to interview, email me at stephanie@wjffradio.org. This has been Stephanie Phillips for Farm and Country.
We hope that you enjoyed our show this week with production by Radio Catskill volunteers Keith Hubbard and Stephanie Phillips. Special thanks goes to our guests, community organizer Richard Lowe from Hancock, New York, and to Iris Fenn Gillingham from Gale Roots Community Farm in Livingston Manor, New York. This has been your host, Rosie Starr. Thanks for listening local to Farm and Country and supporting Radio Catskill.
Support comes from Damascus Citizens for Sustainability, fighting for clean air, land, and water since 2008, both locally and beyond. Information online at their Main Street storefront in Narrowsburg or their office in the Narrowsburg Union. DamascusCitizens.org.
Hello, if you're a book reader, and even if you're not, I'd like to invite you to join me, Aaron Hicklin, every Sunday at noon for Shelf Life on WJFF Radio Catskill, a show about books and the people who love them. Each episode, my guest picks two of their favorite books. I read them, and then we get together to talk about them. That's Shelf Life on Sundays at noon on WJFF Radio Catskill.